This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The one issue that the angels had was that this creation will show injustice. This creation has the potentiality to rupture the beauty of this universe, to change. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of the heavens and the earth. From Him alone comes the khalq and all of the creation's birth. He is the Rahman, He is the Rahim, He is infinitely merciful and kind. His rahmah encompasses all, no soul is confined. He rose over the throne and taught the pen its grace, and He revealed the book, a nur, for every time and place. His justice stands firm, the scale no hand can sway. Each deed is counted, not an atom's weight goes astray. He is the Samad, whom all turn to in His Jalal and His might. He is the Ahad, the only one who guides from darkness to the path of light. In Him alone we trust, He is the Qareeb, the ever near. And with Him our souls find peace, for He alone we revere. Dear Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reminded us to be conscious of Him in the Quran when He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Know, O Muslims, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth to be a system of truth and justice. The entire cosmos, the entire creation embodies truth and justice. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. We created the heavens and earth with truth. And Allah says, مَا خَلَقْنَا هَذَا بَاطِلًا. We did not do so with batil and injustice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demonstrates the reality of khalq and justice in the beginning of Surah Ar-Rahman when He says, Ar-Rahmanu 'allama al-Qur'ana khalaqa al-insan. He talks about the creation of man. And in those very verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَضَعَ الْمِيزَانِ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ وَأَقِيمُ الْوَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُ الْمِيزَانِ. And He established the scales of justice so that you do not transgress the bounds of justice. You embody qistas, you embody true justice, and you do not show anybody injustice. In fact, when Allah announced to the angels that He is creating a new creation, the one issue that the angels had was that this creation will show injustice. This creation has the potentiality to rupture the beauty of this universe, to change the harmony of this universe. We are the only makhluq that has the inherent capability to effect injustice upon others. And so when Allah announced to the angels, I'm creating a creation, the angels said, Ya Allah, You're going to create this creation. They're going to be killing one another. They're going to be causing fitna and fasad. This is not justice. And we have in our world, نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Even the angels could not understand the reality of changing the cosmos from a perfect justice to the ability, the potentiality of injustice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom higher than the knowledge of the angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the Quran, it is to establish justice that Allah sent the prophets and Allah revealed the books. I reiterate, Allah sent the prophets for many reasons. One of them, to establish justice. Allah sent the books for many reasons, for guidance, for tawheed, for preaching what it means to be a believer, for iman bil ghayb. And one of the reasons why Allah sent revelations and Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the books and Allah Azza wa Jal chose messengers was so that we understand what is justice and we live up to that justice. Allah mentions in the Quran, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رسلنا بالبينات. We sent our prophets with clear signs. وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. And we sent the books, and we also revealed the concept of justice so that mankind stands up to affirm qist, to affirm justice. We sent the prophets, and we revealed the books so that mankind stand up to affirm justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in more than a dozen verses in the Quran to establish justice and to stand up for the sake of justice, to understand that it is not at all allowed to transgress into the rights of other people. Justice is of the established virtues embedded in the cosmos, intrinsic in the creation. The entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is meant to ensure the rights of every single makhluk. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, قُلْ أَمَرَ رَبِّي بِالْقِسْطِ. Your Lord has commanded you to be just. Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah commands everybody to be fair and equitable. And hence, when justice has been made such a cardinal virtue, therefore its opposite, which is injustice, which is dhulm, has been made the worst of all evils. The worst evil is dhulm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ. Allah will never do dhulm, even an atom's weight. Allah says in the Quran, Allah is not doing dhulm to mankind. وَلَكِنَ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Man is doing dhulm to himself. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah says, يَا عِبَادِي إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي. O my servants, I have made dhulm haram upon myself. Allah Azza wa Jal has His own laws that He has enforced on Himself. Nobody has the right to enforce laws on Allah, but Allah has a code of conduct. This is from the Quran and Sunnah. كَتَبَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. Your Lord has decreed upon Himself. Even Allah has a code of conduct that Allah Himself has legislated upon Himself. And a part of that code, one of the cardinal rules of that code, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith Qudsi, that I have made dhulm, injustice haram upon myself. Even Allah Azza wa Jal has made dhulm haram upon Himself. Our scholars say, technically, Allah cannot do dhulm because Allah owns the entire creation. Yet still, because dhulm is so evil, Allah has made it haram even upon Himself. Ya ibadi, inni haramtu dhulma ala nafsi. I have made dhulm haram upon myself. Waja'altuhu baynakum muharrama. And I have made it haram between all of you as well. Fala tazalamu. Let nobody do dhulm to another person. Let nobody show injustice to another person. So dhulm is the greatest of all sins. Somebody will say, doesn't the Quran say that shirk is the worst of all sins? And the response is, what is shirk? Shirk is to do dhulm in the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. Shirk is the worst dhulm. Because as one of our scholars of the past said, one of the students of the Sahaba, it's a very famous statement, one of the students of the Sahaba, he said, there are three registrars that Allah is writing for every human being. There are three scrolls. One of these registrars, if something is written, Allah will never forgive. Another registrar, no matter what is written, Allah will forgive. And a third registrar, whatever is written, Allah will never neglect it. La yutrak, it's never going to be neglected. He was asked, what are these three registrars? So this tabi'i, the student of the Sahaba, he said, the first registrar is shirk. If anybody commits shirk and does not repent, Allah shall never forgive it. Because shirk is the dhulm we do against Allah. The greatest injustice is to worship other than Allah, is to believe in another God besides Allah. Whoever dies in that state, then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I shall never forgive that person. The second registrar, this tabi'i said, is the personal sins that are between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, as long as you turn to Allah, Allah will forgive and neglect the entire registrar. As long as you do tawbah, your personal sins will be forgiven. And then the third registrar, he said, the dhulm that the creation does amongst themselves, Allah will never ignore, and Allah will call it for hisab on the day of judgment. Allah will never ignore that dhulm. If you took somebody's right, if you stole somebody's money, if you infringed on another person's rights and responsibilities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never ignore that. And so our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has severely warned about the dangers of dhulm. And the Quran warns us about the dangers of dhulm. In fact, the Quran mentions the majority of previous nations, they were destroyed because of dhulm. The number one cause of Allah's punishment upon a qawm, upon a nation, upon a tribe, upon a city, the number one cause was that they were doing dhulm, oppression to other people. Allah says in the Quran, وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ ظَالِمَةً. How many are the qaryas, the cities we have destroyed because they did dhulm? And Allah says in the Quran, فَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا وَهِيَ. How many are the qaryas we have destroyed because they were oppressors? They did dhulm. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the number one cause of Allah's punishment coming down upon a group of people is because they transgressed the rights and they went beyond the bounds and they took the huquq of other people. That is why Allah sends His punishments down. And of course, there are many categories of dhulm. There are many ways to do dhulm. Of the worst dhulm is that when one nation persecutes another nation, when one powerful people use their power to oppress a weak people, to subjugate a weak people. The reason why Fir'aun is considered the worst human being in all of mankind's history was because his dhulm was at the state level. His dhulm was tyranny and injustice at the state level. He used the apparatus of power against people who could not fight back. He subjugated and he pillaged and he took advantage of his strength to oppress an entire group of people. And in our times, we see this dhulm taking place upon our Palestinian brothers and sisters. What Israel is doing, I have said multiple times, it is literally following the tactics of Fir'aun, one after the other. This is the highest level of dhulm. There are other levels of dhulm as well. And we as individuals need to monitor dhulm in our own personal lives. Are we doing something we should not do against other people? There are many categories of dhulm. Remember the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the final sermon he ever gave, the khutbah of Hajjatul Wada', the sermon of Hajjatul Wada'. He asked the people, what land are we in? They said, we are in Mecca. He said, what time frame is this? It is the time of Hajj. Where are we? You're standing in Arafat. Is this not sacred? Yes. Is the time not sacred? Yes. Is the land not sacred? Yes. Is the location not sacred? Yes. Is your dress and state not sacred? Yes. Then he said, so no, just as Mecca is sacred, the Kaaba is sacred, our ihram and the state is sacred, the month of Dhul Qa'dah and Dhul Hijjah is sacred, so too every single aspect of your brother, of your sister, his money, his wealth, his life, his property is sacred as well. Just like you would not disrespect the Kaaba, just like you would not infringe upon the sanctity of the Kaaba, so too the rights of a Muslim, the life, the property and the honor are just as sacred. He literally equated the sanctity of the Kaaba and the sanctity of Mecca and the sanctity of Hajj and the time and location of Hajj. He said, just like all of this is sacred, so too the life and the property and the honor. He mentioned three things in particular: a person's life and a person's possessions and property and a person's honor. All of these are sacred. O Muslims, be careful about your interactions with other people. Do not do dhulm to other people, because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-dhulmu dhulumat, ittaqu dhulm." Beware of injustice, because injustice will turn to darkness on the day of judgment. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us, whoever has done dhulm to any of his brothers, hadith is in Bukhari, listen to this, whoever has done dhulm to any person, make sure you solve it in this world before the day of judgment. Hadith says this, make sure you solve it in this world before the day of judgment, because on that day, the Prophet ﷺ said, the currency will not be money, the currency will be hasanat and sayyi'at. In this world, the currency is money. If you have done dhulm, then give whatever needs to be done to get out of dhulm. Go to your brother, your sister, apologize, say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. How can I make it up to you? Get rid of that dhulm. Make sure the person has a clear conscience. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ said, on the day of judgment, it will be hasanat and sayyi'at. It will not be currency of money. It will be currency of good deeds. And on that day, if you have done dhulm, somebody will ask you for your good deeds. If you do not have good deeds to give, his bad deeds will fall on you. This goes back to that famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when he asked the Sahaba, who is the bankrupt person? And they said, the bankrupt person is the one whose debts are more, he doesn't have money to pay off the debts. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, the bankrupt from my ummah, he will come on the day of judgment. He has sadaqah, and he has Quran, and he has charity, and he has salawat, but he has wronged people. شَتَمَ هَذَا وَضَرَبَ هَذَا وَسَفَكَ دَمَ هَذَا. He has wronged, stolen money, backbited, infringed on the rights of other people. And so he will come like hasanath of mountains, but he will continue to give all of his good deeds to the people that he has wronged until he has left with absolutely nothing. That is the bankrupt person. O Muslim, do not be like the bankrupt person. O Muslim, you will not get away with dhulm. Even in this world, dhulm will cause you doubt. Dhulm will cause you a lack of barakah. Dhulm will cause you sleepless nights. Dhulm will cause you a dark life, even in this world. And even if you are safe from the punishment in this world, there is no safety of the punishment of the hereafter. Dhulm will turn to dhulumat on the day of judgment, and there is not a single mechanism to save yourself from the dhulm on that day. Our Prophet ﷺ passed by two sheep that were fighting one another. One of them had horns, the other did not have horns. He asked Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, do you know why they are fighting? And Abu Bakr said, I don't know, Ya Rasulullah. He said, we do not know, but Allah knows. And on that day, the sheep that does not have horns will complain to Allah that that sheep that has horns attacked me. And Allah will take care of the dhulm between them. Between two animals, Allah will take care of dhulm. How about us? How about the rest of us? O Muslim, look at your own personal life. O Muslim, examine your mu'amala with every other person. O Muslim, look at your transactions, your dealings. Look at how you interact with other people. Look at how you interact with family, and make sure there is no dhulm that you have ever done. If there is, then cleanse it in this world. Get rid of it in this world before the day comes when وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect me and you with and through the Quran, and may he make us of those who his verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness. You as well ask him, for he is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. Alhamdulillah, al-wahid al-ahad, al-samad, al-ladhi lam yalid, wa lam yulad, wa lam yakun lahu kufwan ahad, wa ba'du. One of the rights of a Muslim upon another Muslim is, the Prophet ﷺ said, حَقُّ الْمُسْلِمِ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِ. The right of a Muslim upon another Muslim, one of them is a list here, is نَصْرُ الْمَظْلُومِ, is to help the one who is مظلوم, to help the one who is oppressed. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, أُنصُرْ أَخَاكَ ظَالِمًا أَوْ مَظْلُومًا. Help your brother, whether he is ظَالِم, doing ظُلْم, or whether he is مَظْلُوم. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we understand how to help the مَظْلُوم. What do you mean, help the ظَالِم? He said, you help the zalim by holding on to his hand and preventing the dhulm that he is doing. Help your brother, zalim or mazlum. It is your collective duty to stand up and eliminate dhulm. It is your collective duty to get involved and make the world a more just place, a more fair place, a more equitable place. There's a beautiful hadith in the books of our seerah and in the sunan of Ibn Majah and others, where when the muhajirun returned from Abyssinia, the Prophet ﷺ would like to speak to the Sahaba, and he would ask them after Fajr, you know, their lives and their poetry and their past. And so one day he said, what are some of the things you saw in Abyssinia? Tell me some of the things you saw in Abyssinia. And so one of the Sahaba stood up. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I will tell you an amazing incident that happened when I was there. That we were in Abyssinia, and one of the elderly ladies who was of a poor background, she had a jar of water walking, and she walked through a crowd of ruffians of men, and these were rich men. And so one of them stood up to tease, and he pushed this elderly lady, because she was from a different socioeconomic background, a different, you know, caste. He pushed this lady, and she fell down, and everybody was laughing, and the jar was broken, and the lady could do nothing, and the whole people were laughing. And the lady stood up angry, and the lady turned her fingers to Allah and said, oh treacherous person, what will you do on the day of judgment when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings His kursi and judges between the creation? The two of us will have a judgment on that day. And that quieting the crowd over there. So the man is telling the Prophet ﷺ that he saw this sight. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "She has spoken the truth. She has spoken the truth. She has spoken the truth." Three times, sadaqat, sadaqat, sadaqat. She has spoken the truth. What will they do on the day of judgment when Allah sets up the kursi and the mizan and she will be able to lodge a complaint? How will they save themselves on that day? And then he said, كَيْفَ يُقَدِّسُ اللَّهُ لِأُمَّةٍ. How can Allah bless a nation? لَا يُؤْخَذُ لِضَعِيفِهِمْ مِنْ شَدِيدِهِمْ. That the weak are not protected from the strong. How can Allah bless a nation in which the weak are not protected from the strong? This is what he is saying. How can Allah bless a nation where the weak are allowed to be persecuted and the strong allow that to happen? O Muslims, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said this in defense of an unknown, unnamed lady from a land and a civilization and a race and a faith far removed from Medina. He defended the rights of an anonymous lady in a land far away, in a place that has nothing to do with Arabia, in a faith that has nothing to do with the faith of Islam, because the rights were transgressed. O Muslim, what then is the case when one of our own sisters, of our own background, of our own nationality and ethnicity, a Muslima sister, Dr. Afia Siddiqui, has been tortured, has been persecuted, has been unjustly imprisoned, has been put in jail for reasons that clearly are contrived, and the whole ummah stands by? O Muslims, wallahi, our hearts are in pain. An innocent lady has been trapped. A mother has lost her children. One of her children has been killed, and she is now in jail for an indefinite period of time. Everybody who looks into the case is aware that this is a contrived case. She was caught up in the vicious war on terror, and the government did not know what to do with her. They tried to get rid of her. We're aware of this, and it was because of the efforts of an innocent bystander, a baker in Afghanistan, who stood up with his physical body and he said, "No, I'm going to protect this lady." Because of that, she is alive. Otherwise, she would have been assassinated in Afghanistan. The story is more complicated. You can look it up. But without a doubt, we have a case of a sister who has been persecuted, who is innocent of the charges against her, and now she is now being held in circumstances that are extremely, extremely betraying the very rights of humanity that we stand for. She can't even meet clerics and imams that are supposed to be, according to our law, pastors should visit those in jail. She has been deprived of that. According to our own law, her family should be allowed to visit her, and yet her own sister has great trouble visiting her. According to our own constitution, she has certain rights, and they're being denied of her. And there is much more that I cannot say in this khutbah, but you can imagine the worst, a'udhu billah, and she has been saying that this has happened to her, wal'iyadhu billah. We seek Allah's refuge. O Muslims, much has happened, and we cannot just stand by and allow this to happen. And what hurts us even more, especially for us here in Dallas, is that our sister is being held in a jail right here in Dallas. It's right here in Dallas. The whole world is aware of what's going on, but we in this community, we have an extra right to do something. So tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala, there will be a protest outside of her jail. You can log on and find the details. Tomorrow at noon, there will be a protest in support of Sister Afia, and she can actually hear, inshallah, the protesters outside. And there will be a fundraising effort. There's also an effort going around to sign a petition to get her released as well. Alhamdulillah, as far as I'm aware, 1.2 million people have signed the petition, but still, the more the better. So log on and Google the petition. It's online. Do whatever you can. Write to your Congress, right to the people. You know, the goal of the people that are raising the funds and doing what they're doing is to get a clemency arrangement to get her repatriated to her home country. We hope, inshallah ta'ala, we can do something. But we cannot just allow this to occur under our watch in our neighborhood without at the very least trying our best, being aware, making dua, raising funds, and physically doing what we can. This is the least haq that our sister has over us. And so do what you can, O Muslims, and raise public awareness. Wallahi, O Muslims, our hearts are so sad. We hear and we read in our books of history that once upon a time, our leaders would hear of a sister being molested and they would raise up armies to defend. We hear of the books of our history that Khulafa would hear of one lady who was being hurt, was being irritated, and because of that, they sent entire armies to liberate and to defend. In fact, it is even said that the first army that went to India was because some women were Muslims were kidnapped and mistreated. And so the Khulafa, the Umayyads and the Abbasids said, this is not going to happen under our watch. And they literally sent Muhammad ibn al-Qasim in order to save those women in India. And the same is said of other Khulafa of the past as well. And the point is, oh Muslims, okay, we cannot do what the people of the past did, but the least we can do is dua and fundraise and physically show up and support and petition. At least show the world that we cannot allow this to happen under our watch. Show that we have a conscience, because this is of the greatest dhulm, and it is happening under our watch, and it is happening in our own very backyard. We have to have an excuse on the Day of Judgment that we have tried to do whatever we can. And this is a part of obviously a much greater battle that we have between truth and justice. In so many places in the world, injustice is taking place. We might not solve every single problem, but we cannot allow it to occur without some protest, without some at least recording in history, in the books of Allah, that we were not happy with this. We tried our best. At least we should have a clear conscience that we tried our best to stand up for truth and justice. And inshallah ta'ala, if we all do so, it will have a positive impact. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la ta'la fi halyumi dhanban illa ghafarta. Wala hamman illa farrajta. Wala daynan illa qadayta. Wala maridan إلا شفيت ولا عسيرا إلا يسرت اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بسوء فاشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكته كذي قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رب